Good evening, everybody. Good evening for the people on the East Coast, the West Coast of beautiful California. Another beautiful day here in Los Angeles. Just were connecting literally to Jupiter and Saturn in the sky. My neighbor, God bless him, hear somebody say, Eliyahu, Eliyahu. And I don't hear very well because of the army. So if I can hear my name, I not always believe that I heard it well. So I'm waiting for a solid confirmation. So the person did Vayigash. You know what means Vayigash? Get closer. He opened the door, said, come in. Come see. He has the telescope the size of my house. I didn't even know he has it. And he can see the planet in such a beautiful, beautiful way. So again, Jupiter represent big picture. Shabtai, Saturn representing order and limitation. Both important in life, but two of them usually it's different. So Jupiter said, let's expose. Saturn said, let's take it easy. You know? And we had something similar to that about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, with Pluto, if I'm not mistaken, Pluto and Saturn. It's a little different. But what I'm trying to say, this is, and I didn't think to open with that, but because he called me and he showed me that, you know, what does that mean? I think the last time it happened was in the 16th century, around the time of the Inquisition, when it was a lot of Jewish that were forced to become Catholic or being killed. So usually when something happened again, it's close a circle. So I'm not remember if it was the end of the Inquisition or the beginning, but somehow something happened there, which what is indicate for us, you know, it's a time of start to understand is how we make the universe, the world understand that we can get closer to something and approach it, but not with an idea to eliminate what not look familiar to me. And I believe, you know, when we talk about Judaism, it was something that kept itself since the time of Abraham, kind of old. And at that time, Catholic became fashion, and Christianity, and the Crusade. So it was a foreigner thing, the Judaism, for them. But in the same time, it's the roots of Christianity is Judaism. Everything's come from a Jewish guy from Brooklyn. So killing become a problem. So for me, Jupiter and Saturn is to help us think big, but in the same time, restructure our mind into places where we are respecting one another. We cannot disrespect whatever seem different to us. So I just want to open with that because I saw the neighbor. But going back to our portion, Vayigash, the word Vayigash. Vayigash means to get closer. Vayigash means you can say it's a confrontation. So this whole week is about confronting whatever need to be confronted, say whatever need to be said, and see what's going to happen back. And remember, you got 6 days, I mean, or 5 days, that you can do everything that you can to start changing your life in a strong way. Vayigash is the same roots of letters of itnakshut, accident, chas v'shalom. Vayigash, get closer, confront somebody, negotiation, almost sound like vayigash. Vayigash is a very big word. Let's go to the story now. Vayigash elav Yehuda, Judah, get closer to Joseph. Remember after Joseph said that I'm going to keep Benjamin here. And Yehuda promised his father there is no way. Vayomer bi Adoni. Say, my master, talk to Yosef, he doesn't know it. Yosef said, let the servant speak in your ears. Meaning he get closer to his ears. Nobody get close to Joseph's ears. And don't get angry with your servant. Because don't forget, you are as big as Pharaoh. And then Judah go to all the part. Of course, the question being asked, why is Judah need to get closer? It's supposed to be Vayomar elav Yehuda. And Yehuda say something. So Orach Chaim asked it, Zohar asked it as well. And I think the best way is to start to understand what is that thing when this part getting closer to this part, especially when Jupiter and Saturn getting closer to each other. Think about it. When the last time it happened? Can you check for me? You need my phone here? I think it was about 450 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So if you're thinking about it, I mean, that getting closer of Jupiter and Saturn exactly fall in the portion that two systems getting closer to each other. So for us, we need to understand who is Yehuda in the system and who is Yosef. And let's understand it from the Sfirot point of view, and I will do the best I can to explain it. I hope you're going to take my lectures online where I explain about Sefirot, Telem Resemination, or Talmud Esar Sfirot. 400 years ago, exactly after the Inquisition end. It was the end of the Inquisition, right? 400 years ago. But anyhow, when we talk about Vayigash, the system called Yehuda is the system of what we call Malchut in Kabbalah. Malchut is the force of manifest everything. And that's how from Yehuda come all the kings. The way you say kings in Hebrew is Melech. Melech, Malchut, kingdom, king. Okay? This is what Malchut means, kingdom. What does Malchut represent? Manifestation. The whole idea of manifestation. Mother Earth is Malchut too. All of this Malchut. Yosef represent the seed level. The seed. Now the question has been asked, what's more important, the seed or the ground? Well, without the seed, there is no fruit. Without the ground, there is no place to grow. So what's more important, right? In the end of time, when we call it the time of the Messiah, it will be two Messiah. Messiah that come from the house of Joseph and Messiah that will come from the house of Judah. The Messiah that come from the house of Joseph not supposed to last forever. It will be a Messiah that come and clear out for everybody, making a lot of war, and it will be a good time when Messiah and Yosef from Joseph will come, but a lot of wars. When a Messiah from the king of the house of Judah will come, that will be the end of time. The end of time, the end of chaos, the end of all problem. But the Messiah of King David can only come after Joseph. So the Messiah from the King David, meaning something to last, something that will never disappear. Because if you take a seed, which has come from Joseph, come from Ze'er Anpin, come from Yesod, when you plant the seed in the ground, the seed integrate. I mean, disintegrate, right? I mean, it's disappeared, vanished. And then you have a new tree. The land still continue to be. Meaning that whatever comes from Ze'er Anpin is not here to stay. Whatever comes from Malchut is here to stay. So it's a very important understanding. So when it says Vayigash Elav Yehuda, and Yehuda get closer to Joseph, meaning what? The concept of manifestation get closer to the point of potential. The point of manifestation get closer to the point of potential, and that's the meeting between two of them. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about spiritually two kings that meeting each other. So it's a very important understanding. What does that mean for us? The Zohar, in verse 22, explained, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. It's enough to say Vayomer. Why is it to Lageshet? Kotev HaZohar, the Zohar telling us, it karvut, that's getting closer between Or the Chasadim to Or the Chochmah. It karvut, it's a connection, between two forces that exist in our universe. One force is a raw, naked energy. Try to imagine electricity. And the other force is the wire that makes sure that electricity comes from A to B. So to pass the electricity from A to B, you need a wire. The wire, it's called Or de Chassadim, light of mercy. And the electricity called light of wisdom in spirituality. So he explained to us the Zohar. It's in 21, 22. So all the forces become one. That's Vayigash. Bore Vayigash elav itkarvut olam beolam. Itkarvut olam atachton shiyanukva mechanat nefesh anikret Yehuda laolam aniyon shu yesod zerem mechanat ruach anikra Yosef. So again, so that system that go, the system of above, and the system of below. The system of below is the strongest system of receiving. The system of above is a stronger system of stopping me from receiving. We need both. We cannot have just one. And when you build that system, everything is working right. So yes, you can look at the story, and it's a beautiful story. Yehuda is getting closer to Yosef. Yosef is kind of showing muscles. Yehuda showing muscles. And in the end, they both cry and hug each other and everybody happy. Nice story. But we got to get into what Rabbi Shimon have to say about it. And it's talking about two systems meeting with one another. Kedesh shiyeh kol echad. Because the Creator wants everything to be one. Mishum Yehuda haya melech. Because Judah is a king. Yosef haya melech. And Joseph is a king. So they get closer to one another and everything become beautiful from that point on. And we need some understanding. I mean, we're going to try to explain it as much as I can tonight. Of what are we getting from it? What are we getting? I mean, what does that mean for me that the desire of what I want to receive getting closer to the manifestation of how I'm going to receive it? Or the wire get closer to the electricity, or the electricity getting close to the wire. Or the land getting close to the seed, or the seed getting close to the land. Meaning potential and actual meeting each other. Potential is Joseph, actual is Yehuda. Now we can look at the story that we talk about, Binyamin and all this and that. I don't want you to go there. I mean, that's a story. Everybody can read the story. It's a beautiful story, by the way. But we want to go in more from a Kabbalah point of view. What does that mean, those two forces, and how you actually go ahead and build those two forces? That's really what it's all about. And how do you confront whatever you need to confront? Because there is side in me which are potential, and there is side in me which is actual. How do I manage to take those two forces together and unite them? So, I'm reading now from Zohar. It's actually called Zohar Mishle, but it's a collection of different things that exist. And I'm reading on the section that says, Veshifcha ki tirash gvirta, meaning when a maid take over the position of her master. And usually when it say the maid, it doesn't talk about physical maid, it's talking about the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, which is supposed to be a maid. But when the evil inclination get into your house, meaning your soul, your body, then it take over, then you want that evil inclination want to be the boss. So when the servant want to be the boss, it's called Shifcha ki tirash gvirta. What does that mean? Pirush, ki betikuno shel Avraham od lo nigmar mashavet abriya. Let's go back, tell us the Zohar in Mishle, Perek Lamed. Let's go back to understand that what is been expected from us is to doing more tikkunim for the world. So you write like that. A sulam. Pirush ki b'tikuno shel Avraham od lo nigmar machshevet abriya. In the tikkun of Avraham, the whole machshevet abriya, the whole idea of fixing the world and doing the tikkun of the world didn't happen. Why? Because Avraham was just giving, 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 giving. But when the Creator created this world, his purpose of God was only to give. If you're just giving, 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 you don't get the chance for God to give you because you're only busy giving. Because the joy that you have from everything is depending on how much desire and lust you have for whatever you want. Based on the size of your joy, that's how you enjoy or don't enjoy something. You have a pleasure or you don't have a pleasure. ולכן, אחר, אשר נתקן על השחר בלי של השפעה, בלי לקבל משהו, so Abraham was managed to make this world not receiving at all. Just be generous. רק להשפיע. הרי לא הגיע מזה שום תיקון. What Abraham did was wonderful. The universe needed to go through that, but it was one aspect. He was correcting the world through one aspect of giving. But the original concept of the world was to receive the pleasure of God and through that to fix the world. And it didn't help to what we call the thought of the Creator, which the thought of the Creator was to create as much as the Creator wants, so we can enjoy and receive it. So the only way that you can get to that place, you have to have cheshek lekabel. You have to have a desire to receive. How? So Avraham was correcting chesed. Now Isaac was correcting gvura. He's correcting what we call the left column, the receiving force. She was called Isaac. That's the secret of Isaac. Isaac correct this world, so we will understand receiving. So Isaac was correcting the concept, we have to receive as much as we can, so we can give pleasure to the one who created the world to give more and more. And Isaac woke up the concept of receiving. But don't forget, be careful, Sarah Ashlag. We are not talking about receiving as a regular way. We are talking about receiving because you want to give pleasure to the giver. You're not receiving because you need something. Because if you're receiving for you need something, that's not what we're talking about here. The only reason you want to receive, that's what Isaac correct, is because you know how much pleasure the Creator has by giving it to you. And that's okay. And you're saying to yourself, I don't want nothing for myself if the Creator doesn't want to give it. You get to that level, which is a tremendous amount of awareness and consciousness, mindfulness, if you want to call it. When a person achieves that level of receiving, then it's absolutely giving. Meaning that you are saying, I don't want nothing, I just want to receive because I know how much pleasure it does for the sharer. So when you talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it doesn't mean that they correct that, this and that. All of them correct the world perfectly. Just everybody was dealing with different aspects. So what is a servant or when a maid want to take over her boss? What does that mean? It means Eved v'shifra, servant or slave, uretzonot ha-kabbalah shelo lishma, is when a person want to receive something not because he know the Creator want to give, he just want to receive. And that's called servant. המשמשים את הקדושה בבחינת שמתוך שלא לשמה בא לשמה, ומכנים את הרצאות הללו לידי קריאת שמה וקשור לתפילין. Now, even those desires can be resurrected and elevated, okay? When a person works on themselves to become more spiritual, then the spirituality not add to your life, it's just correcting the way you receive things. So when a person be spiritual and they start to expect more from their life, they don't get it. Being spiritual meaning that you're going to receive now in the right way. Not being spiritual, you receive in the wrong way. So what really changed according to that? What's really changed is the receiving. Yehuda, going back to our story, and I'm sorry it's a little complicated tonight. Yehuda represents the old concept of receiving in a pure way. And Joseph represents the concept of giving in a pure way. Yehuda is challenging Joseph. He's actually challenging Joseph. He says, it's very, very nice of you that you give and you give and you control and you are the king and you are everything. But let me tell you something. I want to receive only because it gives pleasure to you to give. So who is above who now? Because how much you're going to give has a limit. If I don't want to receive from you, you no longer exist. But I will always exist because I'm receiving to give you a pleasure. So there is nothing in me that wants anything from you. So the negotiation between these two systems is so important because it's a negotiation that's happening every day. And for every spiritual human being, you always have to find two systems. Where is the receiving system? Where is the giving system? And I know there is some, I don't want to call it that name, it sounds really bad. And I don't think Debbie will allow me to say it, but there's a lot of people who call themselves spiritual, but they're not spiritual. They're just using titles and names, but they're not spiritual. To be spiritual is not to look for some angels and things in the sky that landing here from Jupiter and say to you, how many lifetimes you've been here. You know, when I was more before I met Debbie, let's put it this way, you know, I was more allowing myself to say whatever I want. So when I see people with ego, oh, Eliyahu, Eliyahu, tell me when I was another lifetime, and just to make them upset because I saw how much ego they have, in one word that I answered, their ego dropped under the ground. I said, I think you were a mosquito. You look like a mosquito, no? And all of a sudden, you know, when people come to see me, they usually want to hear how great they were last lifetime and how kings and queen and all the great thing. But what if you weren't that? I'm sorry. How many kings and queens there is out there? So every time you do astrological chart, you think you are a big shot? No. The only reason to do a reading with somebody like me and others is that I will tell you what went wrong. And that's the reason you are here. It wasn't right last lifetime. It was wrong. That's why I came back. That's why you came back. We didn't do it. Coming back here is a punishment. Coming back is not a reward. So if you are here, let me tell you, we didn't do it last lifetime. All of us. Yes, include your teacher. We didn't do it. Could be you were my teacher. And that's why I fell. I'm blaming you now. How now I'm your teacher? I'm supposed to make you making it. And I hope I am. Two sisters, my friend. Two sisters meet each other. Yehuda and Joseph. The system of receiving and the system of sharing. What's more important? Tell us the Zohar and Mishle depends. If you're receiving only for the sake of sharing, you are high as perfect sharer. You're no longer receiving. Meaning I like to cook my own food. I come to your house after I ate. You offer me all type of food. I'm not in the mood to eat. But I look at your eyes, the poor guy shops so well, cooks so well, and want me to have a pleasure. So I will have a bite to give you a pleasure. That receiving is pure sharing. And that's what with Yehuda was coming closer to Yosef. Say, Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda came closer. It doesn't even say that he came closer to Yosef. Elav. To him. It doesn't say to Yosef. Elav. He used the word. Elav. To him. Who is to him? Good question. Right? Who is to him? Who is to him? So, some people say, Vayigash elav, that Yehuda get closer to the Creator. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda get closer to Yehuda. And he start talking to the Creator. Because it doesn't say Yosef. It doesn't say Yosef. It's beautiful, right? So, this is just to make you understand that the whole idea of spirituality is to find always the cup and the fulfillment. Because everything is working like yin and yang, like giving and receiving. It's a very similar concept, okay? But you gotta understand that there is two types of receiving. There is receiving that comes from the servant, from the klipot, from the negativity, which means I want to receive because I don't have. That's klipa, that's negativity. Or I want to have because I know how much you enjoy giving to me. And that's a practice. That's a practice. Now, today I studied with my friend about a certain section in the Torah that talk about something called pe'ah. Pe'ah, meaning a section in the field for every farmer to leave for the poor people. Usually they leave it in the corner and nobody touched the wheat or barley or whatever you grow, spelt. You leave it. And the poor people come whenever they want and take it. You leave it in the end of the field, in the corner, so nobody sees them. When they do that, they don't get ashamed. So they say, what if a person want to give more? Also in the middle of the field. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai write, and it's in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai write, only if he gave enough of the corner, then he can come up with a new idea. What is the lesson for all of us? The lesson for all of us is to understand that it's very nice of you that you want to add something to do more, but first make sure that you do what you've been asked to. So it's very nice that you want to treat people better than what you think better is, but first you have to treat them whatever the Creator told you to do. They didn't tell you to leave a corner in the field. God told you to do so. It's in the Bible. It's in the Torah. God asked you to do it. So first thing you do, you have gratitude for what God gave you, and you keep that corner for the poor people. But it's not between your poor people. You don't start doing business with the poor people. So, okay, listen, I'm going to give you also in the middle of the field. Can you leave the corner alone? No, you can't. That's what God told you. You got to leave it. You want to add more? Tavol lecha bracha. May God bless you. No problem. But you need to understand that concept all the time. And the Zohar Yeah, I want to share this with you. The Zohar in Kuf Yud Aleph ask, how do we get to that consciousness? How do we get to that level that we start understanding the all connection between our potential and actual? Because your potential is the vessel. Your actual is the fulfillment. You always got to meet, because some people get stuck in their potential. They meet great people, they get great offer, but in the end, as they say in Yiddish, gurnish, nada, nothing is going on. Why? Because the two forces never met each other. When Joseph doesn't meet Yehuda, Yehuda doesn't meet Joseph, it's not happening. If you have Joseph, you have potential, great, you are the king, you are second to Pharaoh. If you are Yehuda, okay, you have all what you need actual, but it cannot be manifest because you don't have a vessel. Both need each other, both forces. You cannot have electricity without wire. You cannot have a seed without a lamb. You need both forces. The vessel and the fulfillment has to meet. The container and the liquid has to meet. It's very nice you have an empty bottle of champagne. Great memory, right? But you rather have the champagne or you rather have the bottle? I think both. If you said just champagne, we're going to make rain of champagne coming down. Not enough if your mouth is closed, which is the vessel, if you understand what I'm saying. Anyway, what do we need to do? In Kuf Yud Aleph, they explain, what do you do? What do you do with finding the right vessel, the right container? Because if you're always thinking about yourself and you're always thinking what you don't have, you're going to go back and start collecting different kind of vessel, different kind of potential vessel. And the fulfillment will be fake. So, what to do? First, you need to understand there is a war going on as we speak in the upper world. And that war is the force of receiving selfishly will win, or the force of giving will win. That's the only war that exists since the time of creation. The snake fooled us one time. The golden calf fooled us one time. The Egyptian take us as a slave, meaning slave for selfish reason. You understand? It wasn't slavery like build the pyramid, as many people think, because the Israelites were not even in the pyramid area. They were south. So it was all about one thing. How can we make yourself slave to your selfishness? That was the real war. The war is not about, I'm keeping you as a slave, now build for me a tower. That's not a slave. Mishim ze itablu elyonim. It was mourning from above. Everybody was sad from above. Why? Because as we speak now, the holy Malchut, Malchut Shamayim Mushpela, the real receiving, how we supposed to do, been going down to the garbage. Malchut HaRishayit Kabra. And the kingdom of the wickedness, or the evil kingdom, win. Meaning, what is the evil kingdom? I want to do whatever I want to do, as I want to do, now. I want to receive whatever I want to receive, now. And if that's all what you're thinking about, I'm not saying you're perfect, but if that's all your system, it's a problem. Not for you only, for the world. I mean, 7.2 billion people right now, right? How many of them thinking, how can I just receive so I can give pleasure to somebody else to give? Think about it. So every person have to sit and start feeling bad, especially this Thursday night. Those of you who are fasting on Friday morning, you have to sit on the floor and start crying this Thursday night and understand that the reason there is chaos in the world, include the COVID, is because there is enough people who are only thinking about themselves. I'm not talking about money-wise and food and ego. I'm not talking about that. Thinking about themselves, meaning they're programmed to think, if I don't have and I'm going to take, I'm going to be happier. Instead of saying, I know there is so much more out there and I only want to receive it because I know how much pleasure it's give to the giver. That's a real receiving. And that's important receiving. You need to do it. You need to receive more. Which means if somebody come to me and said to me, Eliyahu, I want to give you $3 million. And I'm thinking to myself, do I want it or do I need it? And in my mind, I want it and need it. I have to stop. And then I have to work on myself. And then when I work on myself, I go back to the person and say, yes, I'm willing to receive it. Now I don't want it, but I know how much pleasure it will give to the giver. What if we say, I decide to give you only $500,000 instead of $3 million for that deal? It's okay, because I don't want nothing. I just want it to give pleasure to the giver. Do you understand? If you change that, the whole universe will start changing. But the universe is not there. So you change like that. How many years the Israelites were in Egypt? 210. That's it. Because from the time Joseph went in, the time Moses and the people get out, is 400. But the counting is supposed to start when slavery began. But God didn't count it like this. God counted exactly when Joseph walked into Egypt. So it's altogether for the slavery time, 210. Why? How do we know that? Not about the 210. How do we know what exactly happened in Egypt? The idea, when you were in Egypt, a slave, call it Klipat Mitzrayim, Usod Amshachat HaChokma Mibala Lemata. It's what we call light of wisdom, when you draw the light just for yourself from above to below, selfishly. Like the tree of knowledge, good and bad. Because all of the sin of Adam and Eve, whatever they did wrong, fell into a country called Egypt. So, when it say, K'chu lachem me'eretz Mitzrayim aglot, when it say in this week parasha, when I will tell you exactly the verse so you can Pasuk Yutet, chapter 45, verse 19, and it's written, V'ata tzuveta, take wagons for your children, your wife, and bring your father here. And take everything you can from Egypt. So what does that mean? It's a code. It's a code. According to the Zohar, it's a code. הנה כתוב אומר, קחו לכם מארץ מצרים, מגלות שפנימיות הכתוב יורש, שיקבלו מרכבות מארץ מצרים, להמשכת המוחין, המשכת המוחין. So, the wagon was not wagon. Joseph is trying to tell them, take whatever you need from Egypt, but be careful. Take it in a way that you are taking it because there is so much more. Don't take merkavot atum'ah. Don't take a chariot of unholiness. Unholiness, you say? Don't take the wrong one. You know, take the right one. And there's a big, big secret that this week parasha about how to do it. So it's kind of important. And what do we need to do? Of course, besides charity, besides giving, that we need to give more. כלומר, שאין אדם יכול לקבל מאור שלמות הזיווג של זכר ונקבה. A person cannot truly receive that light that when potential meet the actual, when the vessel meet the light, when the male meet the female, when Joseph meet the Yehuda, we cannot receive that unity or that energy that comes from that unity until when? אם אינו נכלל עם הנוקבה בעת שמתורים עליה דינים הקשים של השמאל. Only when you go into a tough time, when you can't receive what you meant to receive. When things are not working, basically. But how happy you are. Are you happy because you know you're cleaning your receiving system? Or are you angry that you're not receiving enough? Ask yourself that question. Because the point is to understand that I'm not getting what I want to get in life is only because my receiving system is terrible. And God gave me a reward by not receiving the bad things through that vessel. Because that vessel is only based on what? On what I don't have. And when you're busy, I don't have love. I don't have money. I don't have food. I don't. All that I don't list is causing you to build the wrong vessel. Yosef tells his brother, receive everything you want with the right vessel, with the right container, with the right intention of receiving. I want to have because there is so much more out there. What is the main thing to do? Is to stop thinking about that my desire is strong and I don't have what I want. That's called gardesmol. Stop thinking about yourself what you don't have. If you want to make your tikkun, as the Kabbalists say, you want to make your tikkun, you want to make your correction, you want to make what you came in for. Every part of our selfish behavior give birth to something that we have to deal with it later. Because the only reason we are here is to overcome our selfish nature. The only reason we are here is to receive, not because I want to receive, because there is pleasure to the Creator, which is hard. You agree with me, it's not easy. And a person who didn't go through a tough time with the receiving aspect to correct himself or herself should not have any expectation to eventually receive all the beautiful potential things that connect to your soul. That's what the Zohar is telling us. Because all the vessels were controlled by the klipa called Egypt, all the container, all the receiving, kama zmanim v'kama shanim. The message here for us, my friend, there is a big difference with somebody who have everything to another person who have everything. There's one person who have everything and he's getting it, or she's getting it. That everything they have is because the universe or the Creator want to share it with them, and they will open themselves strong to receive all that gift. Or some people who have so much, but they're only having it because they're afraid not to lose it. And when you're afraid to lose it, you don't give charity, you're not generous, you always worry if you have enough. And when you think like that, it's never going, that energy will never work. Think about it, my friend. Giving is the beginning of understanding how the Creator gives. If you're not a giving person, you can write a check, but you're not a giving person. You got to do more. You got to look to do more. You got to chase the opportunity of giving. But the giving is not the goal. The giving is not the goal. It's a tool. It's the beginning. So your receiving system will change from I want to receive it just for myself, or I want to receive it because I know how much pleasure it's giving to the forces giving me. I know that there is smart people out there who say, okay, I'm going to receive so I can share. No! That's not what desire to receive for the sake of sharing means. No! Desire to receive for the sake of sharing doesn't mean that I'm taking $1,000 that I give it to another person. Wrong! I don't know who came up with that. Desire to receive for the sake of sharing meaning I want to take because I know how much pleasure it's give to the giver. That's the correction we came here to do. That's what we're supposed to be fixing. And Yehuda and Yosef representing those two forces. Yosef being undernourishment, under fulfillment of everything. Yehuda said, but I don't want everything. I am here to correct my receiving. I want nothing from you. I'm only going to take what the Creator want to give. Whatever you want to call yourself Creator, no problem. But I will give you a pleasure. For me, I don't need it. But if it's giving you a pleasure, I will definitely have it. And through this conversation, what happened? A unity among the brother. Yosef cried. Everybody's together. That's how the story ends. They're bringing Jacob back to the land of Egypt. The one who announced that Joseph is alive was the daughter of Asher. Her name is Sarah, a woman. Some Persian people told me that they used to go to a cave in a city called Esfahan, where in the cave is the last place that Sarah was seeing herself because the blessing she got that she would never die. So Sarah Bat Asher basically is the one who makes Jacob happy. And for me, we learn when you make a spiritual person happy, right away his prophecy come back, and through that he can help more and more people. So it's amazing to find what exactly the spiritual person want. Okay? To chase. You know, I had many mentors in my life. And ego, not ego, I was pretty good at that. I enjoy being a servant, to serve people. And the joy that I had every time I can read the mind of any master that I have, exactly what they want, and make sure that it's there, that's beautiful. So people ask me, so how do you read the mind? You care, but not for yourself. You care, but not what you're going to get. You care for the other person. Cancel yourself 100%. What is the other person will want right now? The answer will come to you. But if you think it for a second about yourself, you're going to hit the wrong idea. Not only that, the idea will look good, but it will turn to be bad. I really enjoyed that concept, and I'm sorry if I went too deep, but I'm not sorry from a spiritual point of view. I need it for me, and I think you need it too, to climb a little bit to a higher level of understanding of the Zohar, a higher level of understanding of What does that mean? Vaigash alav Yehuda. A higher level to understand there is a war in the upper world with how they're going to make people just think about themselves by making sure they don't have. So when you go into a problem, what the lesson is? You're going to finance issue, relationship issue. Those problems happen in our life, so we can actually look at those problems and say, okay, this is come to correct my receiving ability. Because my receiving ability is based on the idea that I don't have, and now I want. Right? You're on a diet. You ever saw those people on a diet with the juices? You ever saw? As you know, I've been very full of chutzpah and audacity, and I love to challenge people. I like to be challenged too. I mean, people challenge me, I challenge them. And as a coach, you know, when people tell me, I'm vegan, I'm only on juicing, what I do, they tell me to test their spirituality. I take 3 of the juices from the refrigerator and say, you know what, I will be thirsty on the way. Do you mind I take those 3 juices with me? Of course, I'm teasing them. And of course, you see their face. They get panic. Spirituality going through the window. They get angry. It's all my food. I'm not eating anything. Ooh, wait a minute. As I write in one of my books, I wrote, you know, be careful when you worry too much about how healthy you're going to eat, because it might kill you being worried about it. I mean, sometimes the person is so worried about what they're going to take, what they're going to receive, if the pants will fit them or not going to fit them. It's all lacking. We are connecting to what I don't have. I don't have that. That's why I want to have it. I don't have that. That's why. Now, who told you don't have it? The klipa. Which klipa? Klipa Mitzrayim. The negativity force telling you don't have it. So what happened? Let's say you pass that test. What's the next test? You do everything right and nothing work. What does that mean? That's when your vessel was not clean. Your receiving ability was based on something else. It was based on, I'm doing, now I want to get. It's good, but it's not good enough. It's not going to get you anywhere. You got to clean the ability to receive that I want whatever I want only because it's giving pleasure to the force that's giving me. It could be a human being. It could be a human being. For that reason, among the Persian community, Sephardic community, other polite community, when you come to the table, you don't eat even as a guest. In my family, it used to be like this when I was a kid. We're going to somebody's home. We were not allowed to touch the food until the other family offered it 3 times. And of course, it wasn't real because it was just being polite for my parents. In my head, I was eating the ice cream twice. But it looked good. The kids looked good. The parents looked good. So they educate the kids. So it all looked good. So it wasn't real. But it's a good example. How can I explain it to you in the best way? But in the mind, what has to be in the mind, I really don't want the ice cream right now. But I know that how much pleasure you will have if I will receive it, then let me have it. In a way, you're waiting for the universe to show you where it needs to go. Think about it. Before Debbie and me built Vital, we went back and forth for 3 years thinking, am I the right guy for that? Am I clean enough? Am I an example enough? Are you good enough? Am I good enough? And I went to the cave of Machpelah, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob. I think some of you have been with me there when I did that prayer. And I share with you that lecture. And I said to Abraham, you were chosen by God. So whatever task you did was the right task. Because you were chosen by God. I didn't have somebody knock on my door and say, hey, God send me. It's okay, go open Vital, go open a spiritual organization and help people. I meant well, but you don't even know if you meant well, if it's from the vessel for yourself, or it's for true receiving for the sake of sharing. You don't know. I went to the grave of Isaac, then Jacob. Then I went around and talked to the women, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah. Then I went to Adam and Eve. Then I went to Rabbi Abba Vazulai. Then I went to Rabbi Eliyahu Devidash. Some of you have been with me in that trip. It was very small. Why did I do that? Because I know in my soul, in my body, I still have selfishness in me. I didn't shake it away. And if people believe in me as a spiritual leader because I'm not selfish at all, I'm sorry. Maybe it's time to stop following me. I have still my selfish agenda. I have my issue. I'm a human being. I'm not shaving my back from wings. I don't have wings. I'm a human being like you and me. It's the same person. I'm trying. You are trying. But we're all in the same boat trying to become better and better every day. But understand me that to become a spiritual leader, it's a responsibility. Because my job is to lead people who listen to my lecture or read my books, you know, to understand life in the way that the Creator would want you to understand life. That's really what it's all about. If I make you understand life according to my eyes, it's not healthy. But I'm reading books and I'm trying to use the point of view of people like Rav Ashlag or Rav Brandwein, people like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm talking about heavy duty people. No, I don't mention every name because I know better not to mention every name because not every name passed that test that I'm talking about to be able to correct the vessel. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, definitely. He did it for 13 years in the cave. Do you have any doubts about it? No, I don't. So we need to act even once a day like that. Once a day. Try to do it with food, for example. Say, I'm not going to eat until the food will come to my table. Miracle will happen. But I'm not saying fast all day and don't eat because the food doesn't knock on your door. Just play with it in the beginning. Every person in their level. Some of you can stop for 10 minutes. Some of you can stop for 2 hours. Every person, you have a text message that you don't like. Are you capable not to answer back? No? So there is a problem. That the vessel you use, the container you use, the force that you use is wrong. It's something that's not working right for you. I had another thing. In my first chapter, in my book, Laughing Billionaire, first and second chapter, I always said to Debbie, if people will learn the first chapter and second chapter by heart, their life will change 85%. Because sometimes people call me and ask a lot of questions. And I want to tell them, just read my book. I promise you, master my book. And then after that, teach it to 10 people. I promise you, I'm not telling you. Your life is already changing. It's all what you got to do. It's not a lot. Small book. Just read it. All the information you need for life improvement is already there. But read it, use it, and teach it to others. That's all what you got to do. Does it take a lot? 10 people? Hey, I want to share with you the first chapter. Hey, I want to share with you the second chapter of forgiveness. What does it take? Help other people. That's help. The tools are there. Now, what does that mean, Vayigash Elav Yehuda? Say, Sfat Emet, that he was getting closer to God, not to Joseph. Validezeh Yechulim Ligash. But how do we do that? He said, when you have gratitude, and he say like that, Sfat Emet say that his father-in-law, I think his father-in-law was a Chazon Ish, say, why do you call a Jew a Jew? Did you ever ask yourself that question? Why do you call a Jew a Jew? Did you ever ask yourself that question, Debbie? Why do you call a Jew a Jew? Nobody even know that. So Jew come from Yehuda, right? Judah. Still, why do you call them Jew? Because the word Yehudim, in Hebrew Yehudim, come from the word, why his mom call him the word, the name Yehuda? Odaya. Odaya. Gratitude. Gratitude. So if you look at the prayer of the Jewish people, it's all about gratitude. I think the Christian people do the same as the following Jesus who happened to go to yeshiva, to a Jewish school, and the Muslim who follow Muhammad, as Muhammad studied from Jewish rabbi, and then he spread it with the angel Gabriel and his wife. You know? So it's all Odaya. Meaning, when Yehuda, Va'igash Elav Yehuda, Yehuda, the Hodaya, the gratitude, the appreciation, get closer. And I just studied in a Mishnah today. When you come into a city, you do 2 blessings, and when you leave the city, you do blessing. It's amazing. The Mishnah talk about it. And what is the idea of the 2 blessings? the two blessings, because as you walk into a city, you hope that everything will synchronize and work, you know? And when you get out of the city, you have to thank the city for everything that worked out. I'm not here to tell you all the details, but I'm telling you the idea. First, when you come in, you beg the city to help you that everything going to work, okay? And we get out. Why? Because there is minister to each city. Usually I do it. I mean, Debbie can tell you when I land at the airport already, I'm already doing a blessing and I'm telling, let's say, Miami, please help me with whatever I try to do. And then when I'm leaving, I say, Miami, thank you very much for what you did for me. Or I don't know, London or Israel or whatever it is. So he's telling that. It's all about gratitude. And then you can get closer to the Creator. Every time that you go into a rough time, says Fatemet, and things are not working, like when Yehuda get closer to Yosef, it was a tough time. Yosef wanted to take Benjamin. So it's similar to your life when things are not working right. העצה להתבטל לרצון השם יתברך על ידי שמברר האדם אצלו שגם בתוך ההסתר יש חיות ברצון השם יתברך. When you go in a tough time and you don't find any spark of light in that tough time, it doesn't make no sense. You're full of doubts, you're full of negativity, you're angry, nothing work. You need to believe. You need to know and believe that even that tough time, it's not random. It's not a coincidence. It's also came from the Creator. And what does that mean? וזהו ויגש אליו להשם יתברך. Meaning when Yehuda get closer to Yosef, and he called Yosef like God, meaning Yehuda was going through a rough time, and he found somehow a connection to God through the pain and suffering he was going through. When you go through pain and suffering, usually that's the time we disconnect ourselves from the Creator instead of connect. We should be connect more. No, we disconnect. Connect more. Disconnect. Why? Because you're busy with your pain. But that pain is part of what the Creator gave you as a gift. וקם כי זה נקרא הגשה ליוסף, כי יוסף הוא הנקודה פנימיות שיש בהשם דברך, כמו שנאמר. What does Yosef mean? If you take the word Yosef without calling Joseph, if you just take the name in Hebrew, what does that mean? Yosef means additional. Who is the only force that have always more and more and more? The Creator. So, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, meaning he get closer to Yosef, he get closer to, he knew there is fulfillment there. ובאמת היה אז צר מאוד ליהודה, כמו שנאמר. והיה הצעתו על ידי ההגשה הזו לפנימיות הדבר. So, Yehuda, says Fatemet, was getting closer to the internal meaning of what he's going through. Because when you're going through pain, you have to remember that pain you're going through, it's a part of a nourishment that want to come to you. For example, if you think it's so small, what's going to happen? You're going to have a slap in your face in business. You're going to have a slap in your face in all areas of life to wake you up. Wake up. Think big. How do you think from small to big? Something has to happen. Something disaster has to happen. Now within that disaster, do you believe that that disaster was designed for you to grow? Or do you believe that that disaster, this is it, this is just a disaster? Zemaz vaigash elav Yehuda, says Fatemet. Wow, this is so good. Ki lo osif bebakasha hazo shechazar kol hadvarim la'atmo liyot mi'usharim. Kevel ha'ratzon la'shem yitbarach b'simcha. Why, if you look at the parasha, and I hope you're all going to read the Torah, Yehuda make a list of everything he went through. First, we ask you to take and we took Shimon. Then we went back and we took Binyamin. Why he has to repeat it? Yosef know what happened. The brother know what happened. And he know definitely what happened. Why you have to repeat it? Because as he repeating it, is finding within all the chaos he went through as a blessing. There is a blessing here. There is more blessing going on. ועל ידי שמבררים שהוא מהשם יתברך, when you get realized it's all from the Creator, נתגלה פנימיות, then you reveal the internal meaning of it, וכתיב, ולא יכול יוסף להתאפק. And it's written right after that Joseph couldn't hold himself from crying anymore, שהוא הפנימיות להתאפק ונתגלה הפנימיות. Meaning that the Pribiyut, the internal force of the goodness of the Creator, is holding itself. How is it a peck? Hold on. The force couldn't hold on anymore, and it unleashed the power of goodness. Why? Because Yehuda was busy with one thing. I'm going to find the good within that negativity. I'm going to find it. I'm going to determine to find it, the good within this chaos. And you know what happened? The goodness revealed within the chaos. You realize chaos is no chaos. The Mishnah bring a concept. What happened if you're living in a desert and there is a storm coming with so much water that it's enough for your land for 2 years? In one way, it destroyed your barley and your wheat and your spelt and everything been destroyed. But another way, for next year, you're going to be okay. So the Mishnah asks, what kind of blessing you do? You bless over the good or over the bad? And say, you bless like it's good. Because next year, you will do it. And that's okay. Then the Mishnah asks another question. What if you find something that by the law it's yours if you find it? But you know, if the king will find out that you found it, he will be jealous and he will hit you. Do you bless it like a good or bad? And it's a good. What do we learn from that? Beautiful, the Mishnah teaching us that there is two aspects to look at life. One in the long range and one in short. You cannot live all the time with that tomorrow will be a good day. But you also cannot live that not to enjoy the moment. You have to learn to mix both. Again, potential and actual. You down yourself. What Sfatemet is telling us that we need to find within everything the good. So if you live in the desert, there is an ocean of water coming your way. Yes, you destroy the field, but there is goodness within it. The next year, you don't have to worry about anything. To summarize everything, my dear friend, this week, what a beautiful week. Find the blessing. Find the blessing within whatever you're going through. If you don't want to be alone, but you're alone, find the blessing while you are alone. There is a blessing in it too. If you lose money instead of gaining money, there is a blessing in it for you. Find the blessing in everything. When you find the blessing, things get better. Get better, get better, get better. We had a discussion with my family, and people who don't know me, I can come across as negative. You know, I will call myself realistic, or some people who don't know me think I'm negative. But when you get to know me after this COVID, you know, your family get to know you really good now. It's us and us and us again. Okay? Thank God, don't complain. And the compliment I get for my kid, which is a beautiful compliment, you know, you're not negative. You're just brave enough to go to negativity and find within the negativity the blessing in it. And I almost cried when I heard it. I said, wow, you got it? I couldn't explain it myself to others. And you're able to summarize it. And it's not about compliment myself here. It's about, I want to use it as a lesson for us that I want to help you get there, because I believe that our community, our beautiful community worldwide of Vital, who see so many miracles so far, so good, beautiful, we wanted you to have more miracles. But we're asking you, please, within whatever you go through, find the blessing, and the blessing will appear. Thank you. You have a good evening. Good night.